Beano, come on down.
Oh my God!
You're the next contestant on The Price is Right.
God, do you know how many times I've dreamed about hearing that specific sentence said to me?
Not anymore, though. Like, Drew Carey's fine, but he's no Bob Barker.
No, I would still go play with Price is Right with Drew Carey.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I would too. Bob Barker was like...
And let's be honest. All of us that went to school in the 80s and 90s, every time we had a sick day, Bob Barker was there for us.
Cable, what's that? Netflix, binging, streaming. Nope, we had Bob Barker telling us all about spaying and neutering our pets.
Mm-hmm. And that leads us to the topic of this week's Get Geekish podcast.
Not Bob Barker.
Yeah, not Bob Barker. That could be a good one someday, though. But game shows. And we're not going to go into the, what's the best game show ever made, blah, blah. But we're talking about the game shows that we wish we could have been on. And to this day, still wish I had been on.
I feel like Price is Right helped me become a better human or a better adult. Because I would sit there and they'd be like, you know, how much for this box of Band-Aids? Like, I don't know, $8. I'm like, come on, that's like $4.99. It's $5. I'm like, see? Like, I knew what I was talking about.
And yeah, I feel like when people were on that show, that there was a little bit of bias towards wherever they got their prices from.
Right.
If those were Southern California prices, anyone that showed up there from Kansas to be on the show, they were way out of their element. You seem like, who in a rat mind's going to pay $8.99 for a round of toilet paper towels?
Right. I mean, there was a couple times where I was like, oh, come on. My parents just got that the other day. That's $2.99. Actual retail price? $5.99. I'm like, bull!
And they get to be, it's like Kohl's with the actual retail price. Like, sure, it's $5.99. MSRP, though, is $84.99. You're saving 97%. Shirt does not cost $85. Anyway, but Price is Right, it's a staple. And I feel like that one's been talked about ad nauseum. We can kind of skip over. Everyone knows about the Price Right. But what's your favorite Price is Right game?
Probably Plinko.
You say Plinko.
Well, the yodeling one's pretty fun, too.
I always got confused about that for my personal taste here. Plinko itself is a fun game, but Plinko is part of the Price is Right. That is the one game that is completely dumb luck on that show.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have a chance.
I think maybe I just enjoyed it because Bob Barker made it seem fun, where he's like, here's your chips. Now drop it in. And it's like, plink, 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 that sound that it makes.
And they did take it to the next level, the fact that they had those giant Plinko chips. Yeah. So it was plink, 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 plink.
I think that's why the only reason I really cared about it is because of the sound that it made.
I still want to go spin that stupid Price is Right wheel someday.
See how heavy
Even
it
if I'm not
is.
On the show, I just want to spin it and see what it is, because I occasionally see those muscly guys that give it a ride, and then the other ones that go on there, and he's like, no, you got to spin it so it goes all the way around.
There's a couple of videos out there of people getting clipped by that wheel because they try to do the big thing, and when they go down, they pull it on top of themselves and smacks them in the back of the head.
Well, know what I'm doing on YouTube after this.
And of course, we know Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune.
Yes, actually, one of our Twitter compatriots was on Jeopardy last year.
Which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. I still need to ask her what that was like.
There's times where, like, I think I'm good at Jeopardy if they have, like, that certain niche type of category. But
that's what I feel like with all the trivia games, because I had to lump all those together. Jeopardy, it's fun and it stands out because Trebek's a character and it gives it just that little thing where you have to answer in the form of a question, so it's very specific. But are you smarter than the fifth grader? Who wants to be a millionaire? All these kind of things. They're all the same glorified thing, and you just have to get lucky because it's, oh, you have to be super smart. No, you just have to know the particular topics they happen to talk about that day.
Right.
Because there's some days on Jeopardy where you're like, oh, comic book villains. Marvel movies. Like, I got this. And then the next round, you're like, 17th century poet laureates.
I'm going to keep my money?
Can I do like that double or nothing thing and just pass?
What about, like, you know, there's game shows that were geared towards kids. So kind of like along the trivia one, we had Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Yes, I still...
I wanted to be on that show so very badly. Like, just... there's times where I'm like, I don't know that, but it just, like, it seemed so much fun to be on there.
Yeah, everything seemed like goofy humor. Wanted to find that word on the street. I wanted to hear rockapella perform live. And the challenge in the show, I still to this day have this memory of watching that show etched in my brain. I was probably 8 or 10 years old watching it. And somebody got their clues for freaking South America for their final challenge. Remember the pic of those big alarm-looking things on poles and stuff in that country? I was 10 and I was ready to throw something because this mother kid couldn't find Brazil in South America. He spent 45 seconds trying to find Brazil and couldn't do it.
That's what...
It's like half the country.
I feel the same way because, like, yeah, I watch that and there's times where you're yelling at the TV like, it's right there! The one that always got me and gave me an aneurysm was like when I was watching Legends of the Hidden Temple after school at my grandma's house because she had Nickelodeon.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting there watching that, and at the very end when they're doing like the monkey challenge, trying to put the three pieces of the monkey on to do the statue, it's three pieces! It's clearly obvious how it goes. Yes, I know that there's temple guards and what. I'm sitting there like, what are you doing? Trying to put the head in this. I'm like, that's the one that got me all the time.
I vaguely remember that. Temple, Hidden Temple was one that I must have been just past my time or something because I remember seeing it a few times, but never watched it as religiously as some of the others. I feel like I'm just old enough that a lot of the ones I watched religiously as a kid are the super, super old shows that a lot of people nowadays have never heard of before.
Go through, you know, Supermarket Sweep.
Press Your Luck, Supermarket Sweep, $1,000 Pyramid, Tic Tac Dough, Card Sharks, Win, Lose, or Draw, Scrabble, all
some
that kind of stuff.
Some of those are still back.
Some of those did come back, but when they bring them back as different shows, it doesn't work. Like, I think it was...
Press Your Luck was one of them.
Yeah, they tried to bring that back.
That show, like, captivated me as a kid because of the whammies.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why, but it was sitting there, I was like, and I felt like I could be on that show. I was like, I could do this. No whammy, no whammy, no whammy, stop!
Well, remember the guy that got all in the news for figuring out the code because he figured the timing for it, so he just go on there, he just win every time because he knew exactly when to push the button.
He's probably one of those people that goes up to the carnival games too and is like, "Yeah, I know what to do, make it look easy."
I think Card Sharks they brought back. I think Joel McHale or something like that was the host for it, which I don't even know if Card Sharks was a good game, but it was. I watched it all the time as a kid, and they had that stupid theme song that gets stuck in your head.
What about
and the heavy giant cards they'd put on the wall?
What about Family Feud? That's one that's been around for a while.
I feel like I'd like to be on Family Feud, but it'd have to be with the right group of people.
Not your family.
My actual family might not do so well on it.
And who do you got today? Well, this is my best boy. You know, where's your nobody's?
I got some ringers.
Nobody's your relative? Nope.
And I will admit, when I was younger, too, I also really wanted to be on Singled Out, but that was probably more because of Jenny McCarthy and Carmen Electra. But
yeah, I forgot about that one. What about, of course, Double Dare?
I had that on my list as the number one show that I wanted to be on as a kid.
I think, well, and they're doing a tour right now. It's coming to the Budweiser Event Center here.
Really?
In November. Yeah. You didn't know that?
No. I think I might have just had a little mini aneurysm.
Yeah, it's
is Mark Summers bit with it?
I know he's back with the show that they brought back on. I don't know if he's on the tour.
Oh man.
I remember figuring out when that story came out that he was a germaphobe or whatever, mm-hmm. and that's why I didn't shake hands. I was like, that makes more sense.
How's a germaphobe the host of the show that covers everyone in slime and crap?
Yeah, today's game is you have to go dig in this guy's nose to get a flag. But nope.
Yeah, I blame Double Dare, and you can't do that on television. I still really want to know what it's like to be slimed by Nickelodeon, or at least what it was like to be slimed back in the day.
Yeah, apparently, we saw a picture recently of the. You went and toured the Nickelodeon studios, right?
When I was 12.
Yeah, and you said it was boring.
Well, because you didn't get to do anything. You were a studio audience. The teachers were like, "Here's the TV set. Here's another TV set. All right, stand up here and watch a show that you don't care about." I don't even remember. That wasn't one of the actual shows I watched. It was like one of their pilot episodes. You're like, this is stupid.
Did they tell you when to laugh?
No, but they did have some person come out and try and hype the crowd up beforehand, and they were awful. It was that super forced awkward, like, you guys ready to have a good time? Come on now, I'm going to need you all to have a little more excitement than that. Come on, you guys. You're like, you can't beg for it.
You're also 12, which is right on the cusp of not caring about a single thing. So,
yeah, but I was 12, and I was at Disney World with my family at a chance to go to Nickelodeon. So I was jazzed for Nickelodeon.
So I always felt like I would have rocked it at Double Dare. And
I, physical challenge? Yes, please.
Yeah. Even some of the trivia questions, like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Guts. Did you ever watch that? It was like the kid version of Gladiators.
I watched it a few times, but I was big into the real American Gladiators.
Well, so was I. Guts was one of those ones where like they had to climb the aggro crag.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wanted to do that so bad. I was just like, I want to do that. Get a piece of the aggro crag.
All those physical challenges were just... As an adult, I know I couldn't do half of them now.
Which is funny, because as an adult, there's a show that I really want to go on. I think it's still on the air, but if not, I still, it's one that I've wanted to go on, and I know it would kick my butt, and that's Wipeout.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Most Extreme Elimination Challenge.
No. No. That one's fun to watch.
I would love to spectate that show.
I don't know if it'd be as fun without the commentators.
I bet it would.
Wipeout, though, is one that I feel like I could do. Like,
which one is Wipeout? I'm not even sure I'm familiar with what.
Wipeout's basically the huge obstacle course in the beginning that you do the qualifying time on, and like they have things that spin around, the big red balls that you have to jump on, and then the next one will be like a thing where it's a stamina challenge where you have to stand there and something comes by and you have to jump it or duck it or do a path, and then like the last one is, it's a huge course and you have to go through it and it's timed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. People get beat up on that, but it's kind of along the lines of MXC.
Yeah. So I feel like we're both on the same line, that the game shows that do it for me are the ones that have that like halfway between. They're not all just trivia questions and knowledge, and they're not all physical. There's kind of that weird mid-ground. You got to answer some questions and then do some weird thing. It's right. Not a question you need to be a Harvard grad for, and it's not a physical challenge that you need to have been working out for 7 years straight. It's... You just got to do this, and the fact that you have to do it is messing with you, so your brain's not working right, and you're like,
And I think maybe that's what we got to credit the kid who couldn't find Brazil and all the kids that couldn't put together the monkey statue is all the pressure of sitting there, like, hearing people cheer him on or whatever, and hearing the timer, and because, I mean, on Carmen Sandiego, they had a song playing, right?
Mm-hmm. No, this kid was dumb as a rock. Because, you know, they could put each one down twice, and after the second had to leave it where it was. So by the end of the freaking 45 seconds, there were like three countries left, and he still couldn't do it. He kept putting on the same one over and over again. You're like, no, Argentina is not Brazil. We've covered that four times.
All right, well, I don't have an excuse for him, but, you know.
Apparently, they really got to me more than I thought it would.
I triggered something in you. Another Nickelodeon show is Wild and Crazy Kids, which was basically, you remember Field Day in School?
Uh-huh.
That's kind of what it was like.
I feel like that was the game show equivalent of, hey, kids, want to be on a game show that doesn't involve all that knowledge crap?
Let's run around and have fun. Don't want to throw a pie in somebody's face? You can do that. Well, then you had Nick Arcade, which...
I love Nick Arcade, but I was doing a little research on this, and there were two shows that I confused with each other. There was Nick Arcade, and there was Video Power, which were essentially the same show.
Just different
one
channel,
was Nickelodeon,
right?
Was somebody else. And you had to answer video game trivia questions and then play against each other in video games and then go into some virtual reality game, which those shows as a kid were like the holy grail of, I want to be on the show. Oh my God, I could win this. But thinking back on it, all those challenges that we thought were so cool as kids, how much did that have to suck as a kid when you get there? You go behind the curtain, you're like, all right, so remember the thing you're going to be in the video game? Here's a big green screen. You just stand there, and you're going to watch yourself on the screen and try and jump when stuff happens.
Oh, and there's a five-second delay.
You'd be like, I thought I was going to be in a video game. Oh, it's going to look like you are. Like, no, I thought I was going to... Lies! All lies!
Now, they should bring that back now that VR is... come a long ways, because that would be pretty fun. Make that happen. Come on, Nickelodeon. Well, Nickelodeon brought back another one called Figure It Out. I used to want to be on that show. Basically, it was the premise of it is really stupid.
Most game shows are.
The kid goes on there and, you know, they divulge that they have a secret talent or something along those lines, and the celebrity cast tries to figure it out via a puzzle up there where they can guess words and, like, you know, it's basically 20 questions type of thing. And I was always like, oh man, I have the best one that would stump them. And then, like, the kid would go on there with it and they'd get it right away. I was like, oh, never mind.
All right, here's another one. There's another one that stems off each other. There's an old show called Finders Keepers.
Okay.
Which I remember watching a few times. It was kind of a fun idea, but it was, they made this entire just fake house. And when you got the challenges, you have to go find specific things. Like, you need to find the pink shoe in the bedroom. And so the purpose of the kid is like, hey, here's an entire house. So you got to go trash the place to find something. So it was kind of like that dream for it. But beyond that, Nickelodeon took it to the next level and made a show called Funhouse. J.D. Roth hosted it, and it was part obstacle course, part Finders Keepers. So you remember, it was this big side of a house, and there was an obstacle course to get in and around different parts of it. So the same kind of concept, they have to go in and search for different tags throughout the house and all these crazy weird rooms and things like that. And they would tell you as the audience where things were while you're watching them go through the house looking for stuff.
I think that's another thing what made us have that false sense of confidence was we're at home and we're seeing it as a whole, you know, rather than being in the thick of it trying to find where stuff is and going, it's right there.
How can you not see that?
They even have it highlighted on the screen for you. It's right there.
It's like the armchair quarterback's the first down line in football.
Yep.
What do you mean, you stupid ref? It didn't cross the line. How can you not see that? Well, you know.
It was Supermarket Sweep where they went through and just like tried to get stuff in their cart, right?
So want Supermarket Sweep.
Right?
They have to go through and the parts of the thing, they have to match certain prices or get certain combinations of things to stay under or go over a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
And then once they got into the final part, then they'd be just competing of who could get the most dollar amount to the checkout by the end of the day. And you see them going there, just putting their arm out and just like railing stuff into the cart. But those people never ever won.
No.
Because they were dumb. They were going for the light stuff on top that doesn't cost anything. Yeah. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Ring up 87 rolls of toilet paper. How much is it going to cost you? Guess what? They got batteries in the bottom shelf. And people going like they were getting stuff. They're like, oh, I really need this. And the commentators made it sound like they're going actual shopping. Like, are you kidding? None of that stuff is actually real. The things they're taking home.
Oh, they grabbed 3 boxes of Lucky Charms. Now they're going for the peanut butter. I'm sitting here going, there's a boom box right there.
Yeah. Like, oh, they looks like they put one of the bags of diapers back. Like, what? You're just... What? Like, there had to have been some other sort of hidden rule or bonuses that they would have got for doing something, because there's no way that many people are on the show and didn't understand the concept of grab everything you can.
Well, I do wonder with, you know, a lot of these shows, there's a lot of clauses, I have a feeling, with, you know, kind of like with the American Idol type of stuff, you have to have a personality and be over the top.
Uh-huh.
That's how it is with Wipeout. You have these people on here that are like, yeah, you know, have these weird backstories. I have this weird talent. And they get all acting all goofy. Like, because I guess it makes watching the game show more fun.
Well, it's what they do. I mean, that goes right back to Price is Right. They call people out of the audience. When people are waiting in there, there's people that work for the show interviewing and watching people online. They know exactly who they want to be on TV. If you show up in your front, like, if I'm really quiet and really good and I hope I'm going to get on TV, it's not going to happen.
Well, that's, you know, my wife, she actually flew out to California and auditioned for The Voice a few years ago. And she's a great singer. She really is. And it's one of those ones, maybe she didn't get chosen because she's not goofy enough.
Boisterously over the top.
Yeah, like, here, I'm going to sing this song, and I sang it, and now look at me now. Oh.
Let me tell you my life story that has a whole lot of drama built in behind it. Hey!
That's good TV.
Now, that drove me nuts about a lot of games, because all the dating games were like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all the dating shows, and they seem so ridiculous. Yeah, I was too young to be in the quote-unquote dating scene at the time, but even then, you're watching this, like, how can this even possibly be real? Even the dating game was a little iffy on if it was real. But
same with the newlywed game.
Yeah, but this is what's going on there, and it's just these actors. He's like, I saw that same guy on the other dating show last week. Like, this guy must get around.
What was that? Not Hollywood Squares, but that would have been a fun one to be on.
Because you have to be a celebrity.
Well, no, like the guests.
Oh, right, right.
Like the actual contestants. There was another game like that, and it was on during the 70s and 80s that kind of had celebrities up on a thing, and you had to match. They had to match with what you were.
Was that Password?
No.
Or you think of the $100,000 pyramid?
No, that one would be fun on too. It was like a panel of things, and like the guy would give you like a phrase or whatever, and you would write down, and like the celebrities would try to. It was full of tons and tons and tons of innuendos. And I remember being young, watching, you know, because it was reruns of like the 70s. It was a 70s show. Mm. So I'm watching reruns of it. I'm like,
I know what you're talking about. I can't think of the name of it. So, that audience, geekish listeners, you have a job. Find out what that game show is and let us know.
I feel like if I could phone a friend right now, well, no, my dad would probably be like, oh, yeah, I remember that one.
I'm sorry, you lose, Dad.
Right. Well, that's another thing, too, is like with Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, when they use their lifeline to phone a friend. You're like, you know, hey, this is Regis Philbin. I'm calling you, brought to you by AT&T. You're like, okay, come on, get to it. And they're like, oh. And then that person asks them the question, and they're like, oh. You're like, oh, my God. You wasted your phone a friend on that?
Well, you think of some of those people didn't plan ahead, too. They just like listed the smartest person they knew.
Right.
And so you know what some of those phone calls? Somebody was like, hello, Regis who? A game show? What the hell are you talking about?
What? Maybe that's not password. I don't. Oh, why can't I think of it? It's bothering me.
I tell you one that I also loved from childhood was Win, Lose, or Draw. It was like Pictionary for a TV game show. And they always had some like celebrity guests and odd people on there to do some fun stuff. But watching a celebrity draw a horrible, horrible, horrible drawing and get made fun of for it, because you see him like draw three dots in a line, just keep pointing at it like, how are you not getting this? Like, it's not even a picture. Like, how am I supposed to get something out of that?
Well, remember, I'm surprised we haven't even mentioned Name That Tune.
Well, see, the original Name That Tune, that's one where I think the newer ones are better, because the original Name That Tune literally played notes. It wasn't even from the actual song. They had like a piano and would just play the notes of a song.
Yeah.
And for the life of me, I don't know how some of those guys got a lot of the songs, or gals, I should say, too. But even the new one, I got addicted to, was it Song Pop, that app game where you just do Name That Tune type of thing?
Yeah, we did that for a while when we worked in radio.
Oh, yeah. And I not to toot my own horn, but when it comes to Name That Tune trivia, with music pre-2015 or so, I'm a pretty solid teammate on most genres. One of my crowning moments that my wife always makes, I don't know if she makes fun of me for it, is proud of me for it. Well, we played Name That iTunes on somebody at a setup. We used to that Name That iTunes on your iPods and iPads.
Right.
And I beat her cousin on his own playlist of music.
Well, and then Fox tried to do the Shazam.
Yeah, the
one,
Shazam,
right?
with Jamie Foxx.
Right. That one didn't last very long.
Well, the way they made it way too over dramatic for it. And that one was tough too, because I feel like when you're doing a show like that, you need to do songs that have the memorable parts in it. And you could tell with the Shazam one, they'd completely sold out to the record companies, and it was just, oh, we're going to make sure we get these three hit songs on this episode for it. Despite the fact that, oh, well, can you name this song? And it's like 15 seconds of background vocal interest. That's not even part of the song.
When I feel like, too, that maybe the record labels had something to do with that. Like, oh, we're going to push this new artist. Like,
yeah.
Type of thing.
And you see somebody like, how does... Not, you're all, oh, I totally knew that one. No, you have. That song came out like 4 hours ago.
Oh, like, why can I not find... This is bothering me. Anyway.
It happens, because I was looking through. I have an entire CD of game show theme songs that I got like in probably the early 90s. Mm-hmm. So it was game shows that were 60s, 70s, 80s. And it was 101 tracks, and probably 75 of them were snap of a finger, like brings back, oh yeah, I remember that show. It makes me question how many game shows I actually watched as a child.
Probably a lot. Because I feel like that was the staple. Because, like, I mean, if you watched Price is Right, and then you could change the channel to, like, UPN and watch... UPN, wow. I haven't even thought of that channel in a long time. You could watch Family Feud and then, like, a rerun of The Match Game or something like that, you know? And then there were some channels that would do, like, weird things like every once in a while they'd show like the Gong Show or, you know.
And that's what daytime TV used to be.
Let's make a deal.
Before court TV came around, there was daytime talk shows. And before the daytime talk shows, game shows ruled the day. Almost every major network, all four of the major networks, after the news was done at like 9 o'clock in the morning, it was game shows until 2 or 3 in the afternoon when the court shows started.
I remember the court shows. Do you think, here's a game show, I guess, that was a game show? Fear Factor.
Too much eating crap. Wouldn't happen.
I was like,
I feel like a lot of the modern game shows, they build up so much into them that they just aren't worth it to me. Because we could touch on some of those. Fear Factor is one. Survivor. I, for the life of me, cannot figure out why Survivor was such a phenomenon for years.
Mm-hmm. It still is.
Is it still around?
Yeah.
And I just don't, for the life of me, can't figure out the Naked and Afraid.
Truth be told, I kind of want to go on Naked and Afraid. I guess that's the exhibitionist to me. It's just like, that looks like fun.
Let's go on a camping trip. I'll give you a GoPro. I'll steal your bag. Let me know how it goes.
Oh, I forget. Do you remember when Ben Stein's Money?
Yeah. When that, I just liked Ben Stein. The show itself wasn't that good, but Ben Stein was hilarious.
It lasted for 3 years.
And then wasn't that one of the first programs MTV had? Was they had remote control? That was one of the first,
yes.
One of the first non-music programming shows they had, I think.
Beat the Geeks lasted for a season. Oh, I can't find it. I'll have to call my dad afterwards and maybe he'll tell me.
Yeah, but a lot of them, I mean, they had Cash Cab for a while, which, again, when it's just a trivia show, it doesn't...
the funny thing about Cash Cab is it's always fun to watch because some of it you wonder how much is staged, but like as soon as they got a question wrong, the cab ride stopped. Some people are like, I got 30 more blocks to go. Here's your dollar.
Get out.
I forgot about Cash Cab.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things you can go through these lists and look for game shows by decade, and we could probably talk for hours and never run out of topics for them. But we should probably not bore anyone too much and probably start wrapping the end. But what game shows did we miss? I mean, what's something that you, as one of our faithful, loyal, loving listeners, did you watch as a kid you still can't get enough of? There's certain sounds that still come back. The sound of getting something wrong in Wheel of Fortune, that still pops up in my head sometimes. In an awkward silence, all I hear is boop, boop, boop.
Here's the thing. Pat Sajak and Vanna White have been doing Wheel of Fortune for, what, decades?
Wheel of Fortune started in 1975.
And they've pretty much been doing it since the get-go, right?
I believe so.
And then Alex Trebek with Jeopardy, pretty much the same thing.
Well, Jeopardy's been going since 64, and he wasn't the original host, right? He was like the second or third host?
Maybe he was. Either way.
We'll have to look up our history, but a long time. 30, 40 plus years.
If and when Pat Sajak, Vanna White, and Alex Trebek decide to retire, are they going to keep that show going? Because it's not going to be the same.
They're going to try. It worked with Price is Right and the fact that Price is Right is still going.
Well, here's the thing. It didn't work at first because when Drew Carey first took over,
he just had a completely different style and sense of humor.
It was not... He tried too hard.
Mm.
I still think he tries too hard now. I've watched some of them. I'm like, this is just awkward, but... Maybe it's that whole nostalgia factor. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But
it's just not like I remember it.
I still think Double Dare,
mm-hmm.
top one that I've always wanted to be on, right up there.
Mm-hmm.
Legends of the Hidden Temple and Guts kind of tied. I wasn't a very athletic kid. You know, I had glasses and asthma, but man, I could dream. And then, you know, as an adult, Wipeout, if that's still going on, I want to make that happen before I get too crotchety and old.
Maybe we'll have to make that happen.
But we'll build a backyard one.
Budget game shows.
Ooh.
We may have found a calling. For some reason, I still really want to get shot by an American Gladiator 2 by one of the assault rifles.
I want to run with the tennis balls. I want to do that so bad.
Because when you watch them back on TV, like, this can't be that hard.
Right. I'm like...
But then you think about it, like, that tennis ball is probably going 140 miles an hour.
I know, because I remember watching him do that, and I'm like, there's cover all over the place. How hard can it be to go up there, get a little bazooka, and try to shoot it at him? go to the next thing and do a
flame. You don't have to hit him. All you have to do is just shoot all the weapons and get to the end, and you still get points.
Yeah. Like, it can't be that hard with just tennis balls.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, game shows, for some reason, they have entertained us for generations, and they probably won't stop anytime soon. But let us know what your favorite game show was. Or an important, a special one that we may have missed in this podcast. Let us know at Get Geekish on the social media. And I think I have some YouTube videos to watch now of some
game show fails.
Goodbye, productivity. Anyway, it's at Get Geekish. It's Bino and Derek. And we'll talk at you next week.